You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
Just earlier, I went to this old game store in town. Secret of Mana for the Super Nintendo, $50. Like, it's cool still seeing those old games that sold that much.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, welcome to the 15th episode of KoopaCast. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
We'll go with that.
Thanks.
What's called the May 8th episode of KoopaCast.
I like that. Yeah.
This time it's personal.
Yes, it is. I'm joined by, we have a new guy with us. Let him start the introductions. And here's the daily question. Did you see Iron Man? And what would you rate it between 1 and 10? Iron Man 3.
I have not seen the new Iron Man, and I would give it a Batman out of 10.
That's a pretty good score.
Then we'll go left. So I think Kevin.
Oh, are we introducing ourselves or just?
Yes.
I'm Kevin. I would give. I did see Iron Man. I'd give it a 7 out of 10.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I saw Iron Man 3, and it was pretty good. It had some similarities to Dark Knight Rises.
A little too many, but you know.
Yeah.
Coincidence.
Yeah.
That's why I gave it a Batman.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I'd say like 6 or 7. It was pretty good. It was entertaining. I thought it was very entertaining.
And I am James, and I saw Iron Man 3 and Batman.
Whoops!
Did I say that out loud?
And I guess I'll go between Justin and Kevin, 6.5. Because it sounds like, I don't know. It was, I don't want to get into it because I don't want to ruin anything.
Yeah. hi, I'm Ben, and I saw Iron Man 3, and I don't know, I'm going to give it an 8, because I had solid enjoyment out of it. I mean, I'm not going to compare it to any other movie, but for my enjoyment that night in that theater, I had an 8. I had a good night.
Nice.
Rock on. I'm going to actually be prepared. I'm not going to let it sneak up on me. I'm Alex. I have not seen Iron Man 3 yet. I'm probably going to go see it tomorrow, so if I had a TARDIS, I'd be able to tell you a score. But,
I saw what you did there.
Oh, well. So, yeah. Gotta love Doctor Who.
Wibbly so, wobbly.
I don't know. Yes. I don't have a score for it yet. That's it. We're done.
All right, to be announced.
To be announced. Yes.
You tweet it, and then we'll share it.
I will, just because you said that.
All right, the big news, I guess you can say, from last week was came from Iwata, when he said that Nintendo won't be holding a typical press conference there in E3. Come to find out, they're doing two mini conferences. I don't know if you want to call them press conferences. One for the media, go hands-on at the booth. And there's going to be a little bit of announcements by Miyamoto and Reggie. And another one for investors and GameStop employees and retailers. What was you guys' reaction to that? What is you guys' reaction to that?
I was really, really sad. Because this will be my first E3 to go there. And I want a big Nintendo show, darn it.
What he said.
Yeah, it's kind of sad because I feel like Nintendo should try to get as much press as they want.
Yeah.
And then I start thinking about it. Well, what if this is the only way they can guarantee every press to play all their games with the Xbox and the Microsoft announcements? I mean, Sony and Microsoft announces if this will just be guaranteeing everyone will at least try their games, and in the perfect scenario with them explaining it. And so part of me doesn't like that, but it may end up benefiting them in the best, because they always say people don't quite understand the Wii U until you play it. And so.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it'll actually help them because, yeah, like some of the media, they go to the press conference, but they don't actually go to the booth or play the games later. And then you just, you know, you have press and media out there reacting at face value. Oh, they demoed Nintendo Land for 17 minutes. I guess it looks okay. I didn't actually play it, but whatever, you know. Where I think this, they can actually, you know, show off the new Mario, Mario Kart, show off the unique features of the gamepad, you know, whatever unique abilities you can do with it. But that would be good.
Yeah, what I found interesting is people was like, oh, is Nintendo turning their backs on E3? No, not really, because you don't really need a big press conference. They don't need that beating of the chest, look at us type of thing. No one does, to be honest with you. And for me, this Nintendo gets away from who won E3. They get out of that argument, which I think could be beneficial for them, because they're going up against two new systems from two different companies. So they're saying, hey, here's our games. Play them. Who cares who won? Just enjoy our games for the future.
Yeah, and I could agree with that a little bit, but I do think there's something to be said about a big presentation, because that's when the world is specifically watching you, and that's when you get the headlines, that's when you get those big moments. But yeah, I do agree with that. Nintendo's, you know, not willing or not looking to win E3.
Well, here's the thing: they could, and they most likely may do a Nintendo Direct while we had go hands on with the games. They may just throw in an hour in Nintendo Direct. So they still get that video presentation in a controlled environment. But you can't say, did Nintendo do better on stage? No, because they weren't on stage against Microsoft or Sony.
Yeah, I think it would be smart for Nintendo if they have a Nintendo Direct and hands-on for media and these people, but then they release maybe some E3 demos either during or after E3 to the general public on the Wii U Shop, just so everyone gets to feel a part of it, because they keep wanting this interaction between Nintendo and the players, but why not take that a step further and give these, maybe not all of them, but get these demos out there to the public.
That'd be cool.
That would be.
Yeah, because they've kind of started doing that with, like, on the 3DS eShop. Like, you could download the Link to the Past 2 trailer and watch it in 3D on your 3DS, and, like, everybody geeks out, and you're like, oh, goodness, this looks amazing.
It does.
So, yeah, that would be cool to have some sort of a takeaway, you know, so all the fans, you know, feel like they're playing alongside the media.
And you think about that, it is a way they can steal the show, because if they release a bunch of trailers through the 3DS eShop, Wii eShop, people may have to go back. They have to go back and watch those trailers, and it takes away from they may be watching something from Sony or Microsoft. So it is a way Nintendo could sneak in people's E3
view. Sly dogs.
The sly dogs. Like, oh, there's a trailer out there. You have to take time to go watch it. Turn on your Wii U. Turn on your 3DS. Type of thing.
Yeah.
I think it'll just be one of those things we kind of have to like wait and see. You know.
I don't want to wait.
Well, that's why I was hoping Chris would be there, because him and I had a long conversation, and I was like, I think people's knee-jerk reaction that Nintendo's freaking out, they don't have anything to show. Well, no, they have things to show. We already know Mario Kart's going to be there. Bayonetta 2 is probably going to be there. It's just people are reacting because it's different.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, can they really do that? Can they not do a press conference? Well, they can.
I was going to say, because I think they actually have the exact opposite problem. They have so many games to show that that's why they want you to have all that time to get your hands on with it, you know.
But and then what if they have like an announcement, not necessarily like the Vitality Sensor, but something confusing like that, where they need to show you for you to understand, so they figure, what if it's better to give everyone specific hands on and explain to them in person rather than showing it off like the Vitality Sensor and have this terrible press and before even people have that, you know, so people won't have that gut reaction. They'll be able to experience and be like, okay, here's why it works.
Makes sense, considering the Wii U, when it first, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't the big deal about it when it first came out, was people were thinking the gamepad itself, that's like, this is the new console instead of the actual thing.
Well, even we were second row during the press conference, and we thought, we're like, wait a minute, is this really a new console? Because all we saw was the gamepad. It wasn't until we looked at pictures later, and we're like, oh, wait, no, there's something hidden behind that.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see the Virtual Boy 2.
Yeah.
Yes!
There we go.
Yeah. Well, it kind of begs the question, do they have something bigger to announce than we all think? You know, like, okay, they're going to show off games, and they're going to have some unique uses of the gamepad, but what if there is, like, maybe they want to show off dual gamepad support, and that's why they want everyone in a hands-on setting to show how unique it can be, or you know, maybe there's some other peripheral or some other thing that they're going to show off that, I don't know, needs to be seen. I don't know.
Yeah. Ooh, if they have a new peripheral, they need to call it the And You, so you can have the Wii U and you.
Wii U and you.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Talk about the important
my
stuff.
My whole thought is, well, I feel like Nintendo does everything a little bit different. I mean, their whole system, I mean, what they're built on is a unique take on gaming. So I guess for me, I want to have faith that their unique take on E3 is going to be better. I guess it'll just be a matter of us experiencing it and finding out. But I just have, you know, I feel like they do everything uniquely, so you know, why not tackle E3 in a unique way?
Well, you know, I think in a way, it's already kind of working. I mean, we're all sitting here on a podcast talking about it. There are articles being written about it. In a way, I think that's kind of generating buzz about what their move is going to be.
That's true. Question, speculation.
That is true. There's more talk about Nintendo than two new systems that are going to be there. So no one's really talking about Sony.
Because we know what's going to happen with Xbox. We know what's going to happen with Microsoft. We know what's going to happen with Sony. I mean, those are like, okay, that's what's going to go on. We don't know what's going to happen with Nintendo.
That's the thing. They're always a very secretive company. They like to keep that mystery and excitement around them. So,
right.
And kind of going off what James said a little bit, they're not going to have those embarrassing moments like a lot of stages do, you know, like the most uncomfortable moments, like the Wii drumming and, you know, some of those things that people seem to take away more than they actually take away from the big announcements.
Bought himself last year.
Yeah, making himself a zombie.
Yes, stuff like that. And so hopefully with the Nintendo Direct and these small meetings, there won't be those uncomfortable, you know, takeaway negative moments.
Yeah, because I did feel that way last year. And it was funny, last year they're like, we've got so many games to show off, we have to go really fast. Mm-hmm. And you remember like the first 30 minutes, they were just showing off like, okay, we only have like a minute and a half or something, mm-hmm. and they show like quick trailers, you know, what's his name came on stage, whoever that new guy was, Scott Moffitt or whatever, and he talked about some 3DS games. He's like, I'm just going to talk about it real quick because we got lots of Wii U stuff to get to. And then at the end, they had like 17 minutes of Luigi's Mansion Nintendo Land mini game. And I was like, you gotta pace things better. Yeah. And so that was all people remembered when they left. They're like, oh, why did they do that demo so long? And why
end with it? I mean,
and why end with it? And that was all. They didn't have any other trailer or anything after that. And so, you know, that's all we remembered. We're like, oh, there was some cool stuff. They did show off Pikmin 3 at the beginning, but I don't even remember that after that demo.
Yeah, because that's actually the beauty of the Nintendo Directs. It's kind of like, hi, I'm Iwata. Here's what I have. You know, with presentations, you got to go through that whole formal, hey, welcome, thanks for everyone coming, la-di-da-da-da. That can waste a couple of minutes. And then in between, there's transitions, the people come up and off stage. Mm. And they only have like an hour and a half. They can't go on for ever.
Right.
So they can do 3 45-minute Nintendo Directs throughout the day and cover twice as much as they can in that hour and a half press conference just by cutting out the I don't want to call it the fluff, but that need transition time between announcements or the talking, whatever. They just cut that out and just go straight to the chase and be like, here's Mario Kart. Here's a look at it. Press, the media's getting hands-on. They'll tell you more about it, basically, type of thing. So
hopefully we'll have another like E3 2004, you know, but before we go, here is an amazing game. You know, like when they did Twilight Princess for the first time, maybe we'll get something like that. Yeah. Where, did you remember that? Oh my god, I did. I can't, you know, I gotta get it. Things like that.
Or they're like, and here's this amazing game. Here you go and play it right this second.
That, yes. Oh, that would be great. Star Fox, what? Star Fox on the Wii U? I think that'd be a great idea.
Oh, yeah. Playable right now. Oh my goodness.
Then we can take it home with us?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll cause a distraction. Of course we can take it home. It's like it's like Ocean's 11, but with E3.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you guys remember that when they showed off the GameCube at E3? Someone stole a GameCube controller.
Seriously?
Yeah. And it was the original design of the controller had three kidney shaped buttons. So instead of the two X and Y and then the red circular B button that the final version had, it had three kidney buttons. And it was going on eBay. I remember it was like $22,000 or something like that.
I was just going to say, and then it goes on eBay.
Yeah, and Nintendo found out about it, shut it down, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah, I was going to say, that was their poor move. They should have done some more black market.
So, eBay is the last place you want to go with that.
Yeah. That's where you go to like the dark airway.
Three
buttons.
Looking at my GameCube controller, three kidney buttons, that would just kind of feel redundant and a little awkward maybe. I don't know why. Like, I'm playing Wind Waker again. I'm just looking at it going, good thing they kept the circle. It just seems like weird.
Yeah. Anyways.
Moving on to the next topic, which I really don't want to bring up again.
Oh,
boy. No. Here we go. I feel like I have to. And we have to, because I'm bringing you guys into it. So, DICE is something he does at DICE. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Said that they tested Frostbite Engine 2. I don't know what they mean by tested. Could have been just turn it on the Wii U. They could have just turned it on and be like, oh, there we go. But anyway, they tested it and it didn't run fully 100%. So they decided, you know what, screw it. Screw Frostbite Engine 2. Definitely screw Frostbite Engine 3. But that brings up the question. There's a lot of EA games that we're already missing that we will miss that has Frostbite Engine 3. Battlefield 4, Dragon Age 3, Mass Effect 4, Need for Speed, possibly. Mm-hmm. Army of 2... anything BioWare is doing, basically.
Yeah, they said there's like 15 EA games that are using Frostbite 3 going forward.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So now the interesting thing, what he said, the Frostbite guy, was they weren't getting good results with number of players online. Because that's where, like, the console versions, what did they have? 16 online?
Yeah, I think so.
Wait, and, for what?
For Battlefield 3.
No, 30.
So it was 30? Okay.
Yeah, 30. PC has 64.
Okay, I knew it was some odd number, like it wasn't 32 exactly.
No, I think it was exactly 30.
Okay. So apparently he said that they couldn't get a consistent number of players on screen that, you know, would make it fun. You know, because I'm sure in some of those big levels in Battlefield 3, you probably need at least, you know, 20 players to really make it fun. You know, two people running around a huge level is going to be kind of dumb, but I don't know.
That's the thrill.
he kind of brought up the CPU, and I didn't do any research on the CPU of the Wii U, but I do remember another developer saying that it was underpowered clock speed wise, and that you can't do everything you want to with even the 2 gigs of RAM that it has, which is way more than PS3 or 360 have. But yeah, it seems like just a cop out. Like, oh, we couldn't get it. You know, we didn't even try to optimize it, or you know.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm a little disappointed by that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. We are disappointed.
Yeah. Well, so who's the guy that said that?
His name is Johan Andersen.
Okay, because I remember a few months ago someone said something similar. Then the guy's boss at the place would be like, "Well, we're not actually giving up on the Wii U. We're just saying we're not going to spend enough time to optimize for the Wii U because we can't gain, or we can't, you know, what we give in, we may not get out of it at this point." I don't know if this is the same situation, but it makes me think if they're not able to put as much, you know, research into it as they would think, because they're worried the payout will not be enough. So I think they could get there, but...
Hmm. Right. Here's my point. I want to bring up Madden, skipping the Wii U. And honestly, there's no reason, because they made Madden for the Wii.
The difference between that and the Wii U version is the Wii U version could basically be a port. If they have to dumb it down from another version, that's fine. But the Wii version was a totally different build than the other versions. And so they took the time to make a Wii version, which didn't sell very well. Didn't sell horribly, but didn't sell well. Mm-hmm. Why not make a Wii U version? But to that point, to my own point, there was a report today that 900 employees of EA's had been laid off.
SimCity all over again.
So they're not wanting to use resources on the Wii U could be stemmed from be like they don't have enough resources to spend on something.
Yeah, well, and they're in the midst of a huge restructure. I mean,
yeah, that's where 900 people came from.
Yeah.
The whole restructure.
And they're even a lot of the higher end guys are doing some switchovers because they didn't like was it the board didn't quite like where the direction was going, so they're restructuring to try to get back on track so they're not way behind for this next generation.
Yeah.
You think a Madden game be perfect for the Wii U? I mean, like, how cool would it be to actually be able to write out your own plays or any sports game?
And that's what you can do on the Madden that's on the Wii U right now. You just didn't have the physics engine and everything else that last year's Madden had.
Why didn't you have the physics engine?
I think when they started development of the Madden Wii U version, they hadn't finished the physics engine or anything like that. And so then they were like, oh, let's do some of the – and they actually – you can draw out your routes and stuff on the Wii U version, but it just doesn't have the level of detail of, you know, tackles and
– I got you.
You know, like, because they – what did they say, James? Like, every tackle was unique with this physics engine.
Wow.
Well, it's not as cool as it sounds because you get some weird – they'll be walking and they run into each other and a guy's arm goes flying and flailing.
Yeah, like, do people really need that in depth of like a physics thing? I mean, you know, he didn't tackle in the same way he did, let's say, Madden 98. You know, back in the days of the N64.
Yeah, I know. Sounds pretty exciting. People's arms are going flying everywhere.
Yeah, really. I played a game where like that was like the they didn't quite finish like the body placements and like you know he's gonna throw the ball and his arms going you know just spinning around a circle.
No, remind me of that. What was it? Backbreaker game. Backbreaker. It was a football game, but it was
NFL Blitz.
No, it was another one called like Backbreaker. It came out on 360 and PS3, and the whole point was it just focused on physics of hitting people real hard.
Nice. I remember loving Blitz. That was a fun one.
Yeah, it's fun. It was fun seeing that like in the arcade or something.
Mm-hmm. Everybody played that.
Yeah. I couldn't escape that game.
Yeah, there was someone, I don't know if it's just a thin veil of hope, but someone was saying that EA is going to unveil next generation Maddens and that the Wii U version might somehow be in that and not this Madden 25. That Madden 25 is for current gen systems only and this new next gen Madden is for Wii U, PS4, and 720. But, you know, as we've seen, next gen, people seem to leave Wii U out of that consistently, which stinks.
I think we've had the conversation about this, that they just need to go ahead and announce it. Say yes, Wii U. Don't say next gen or possibly or we're looking into it. Just go and say yes or no. There's no reason to...
And it's so frustrating. It's like, I thought we got past this, you know? Like, the Wii U's out now. Why do you have to be secretive on whether or not you're doing a Wii U version? I mean, you've got dev kits. If you don't have a dev kit, Nintendo's not doing their job. But I don't know. Part of me is just like, I just want to call Nintendo. Hey, I'll be your liaison. I'll go talk to the developers. You know, make sure they're, you know, they feel like you're getting in touch with them. Because did you hear about the Avalanche developer today?
Yeah. I was thinking about that because they say like they haven't talked to you, but then you have like an interview like 2 days ago. They said they talk to us every day, you know, whenever we call. It's like, where's this, you know, what's right and what's wrong? Like,
And it almost seems like they may not be talking to you because you haven't said you're going to make a game for their system, you know. And, you know, maybe Just Cause 3 or, you know, whatever Avalanche is working on, you know, they haven't even said Nintendo, and Nintendo just sent them a dev kit for free just to try and get them to develop a game. So it's like, if that's the case, then it's not necessarily Nintendo's fault for not getting back to you.
It could be one of those, if you're not asking questions, I'm not going to think of you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you're not like, oh, have anything to say or anything to show, why would they be like, oh, hey, so how's the dev kit we sent you doing?
Yeah, it's the active developers, the one who are, you know, who are passionate and making their game. That those are the ones Nintendo's going to promote, you know. So, yeah, it just goes back to laziness to me. I think it's just, you know, laziness on a business side. You know, the business people don't want to, you know, make it, and you know, the business people that say, oh yeah, the Wii U sold 3.5 million units in quarter one. Which was below its 4 million projection, that means that we can't support it because they don't have enough units. It's like, that doesn't even make sense. PS4 and 720 haven't sold any systems, you know, and you're going to have, you know they're going to come into a generation where you've got tablet games and all this stuff. I mean, we use an uncharted territory just as much as PS4 and 720. I mean, you know, who's to say PS4 and 720 don't, you know, have the same sales issues at launch, you know, people are playing.
Do we even know? Do we know the price yet for these systems? Exactly. That's another big factor too.
Yeah. Your left leg.
Yeah. Left leg. Exactly. And sorry. Go ahead, Ken.
No, I was just saying. And there seems to be a whole lot of cross-gen games this into this cycle. Pretty much every next gen, it seems like, has a, you know, its counterpart, Watch Dogs and everything.
Yeah.
And if GTA is not on, you know, next gen systems, even though it's coming out a few months before, you know, that's another thing for people just to wait on, play their old systems.
Yep. And I think you're going to see that. I think people are going to get GTA 5 on their current systems. They're going to get Watch Dogs, Assassin's Creed 4 on their current systems. The people who can buy the new systems will, and they'll, you know, they'll be the early adopters. But I don't think you're going to see a big rush of, you know, the entire 360 fan base going, oh, I have to buy the new one. Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah. And you have all those people yelling, like, Nintendo needed to have their big guns out at launch or near launch. Is Microsoft, Sony, is Halo going to be the big Xbox showing? It should be, if compared to what everyone else is saying about Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Should there be a big God of War game for PlayStation? There should be within the next first 3 months.
What would he do this time? God of War 10. What is, Kratos stubbed his toe. The Rock must die.
Yes. Kratos strikes again. Yeah, it just seems, and it seems like they're kind of behind on software too. I mean, you know, Sony may have a leg up just from what we've seen so far, but there's that rumor that Microsoft Studios are like 6 months behind on next gen development. So if they have some, you know, a number of unique titles at launch, you know, I don't see them being really deep 30-hour experiences.
Well, also, have you looked into see like Microsoft first and second party games over the last 3 years? Mm-mm. There's just a small handful compared to like Sony and Nintendo. Mm. And so people want to, even this next gen, if they're going to slowly even do less and just have third party support, because you know they don't want to be a gaming company. So you still have your Halos and, you know, Gears of War, those exclusives, but if there just won't be as many of those first and second titles. And so if that's the case, that's even going to be harder for them, especially at the start of the system.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that'll be interesting.
I thought Nintendo did a great idea in terms of on the Wii U that I take it you guys have been playing the Rayman Legends challenge app.
Yeah.
I thought that was a fantastic idea in terms of, you know, kind of promoting more for the Wii U release of it. Because, you know, when I saw, you know, okay, it's not a Nintendo exclusive anymore. It's going to PC, I think PC, PS3 and Xbox and all. I was like, okay, so it's going to everybody. That was just a really smart move in terms of showing here's how it's different from everyone else. After playing it, you know, over and over again and still playing it, I'm completely sold on getting it for the Wii U. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if they targeted that a bit more, you know, showing, okay, yeah, that's going to be on the PS3 and 360, but here's why you should pick it up for the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Here's why it's better here.
Mm.
Well, hopefully that's what they're going to do at E3, because we're going to have all that hands-on time of the games.
Yep. So. Yeah, also, go ahead, Tristan.
I was going to say, also, here's one thing to look at. Does Sony and Microsoft, do they get Super Smash Brothers? No, they don't.
Exactly.
We get Super Smash Brothers.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the quality of game and the depth of game that Nintendo's going to show off this year, I think will exceed what the competitors will show off. Because, I mean, if anything, you know, these are almost like second-gen games on the Wii U. You've got games that have probably been in development 2 or 3 years now. You know, a big Mario game, especially if it's coming out by the end of the year, it has to have been in development for two and a half years. Smash Brothers, you know, we may see an early version of that. But still, like, those games have a lot of depth to them. And I think you're just going to see trailers. You know, you're going to have some playable games on the other systems, but, you know, I think it's going to be limited. You're going to have some shooters, lots of shooters. But
pew, pew, pew.
I think it's going to be mostly cross-gen games.
Yeah. Well, and just think, like, what Nintendo did with Galaxy on the Wii, how good it looked and how unique and artistic it was and not straight-up realistic graphics. I think we're going to see a lot of variety on the Wii U, those kind of experimental, you know, different style graphics, bright colors, you know, new style of stuff that I think they're going to catch people's eye.
Yeah. Kind of like they tinkered with in New Super Mario Bros. U with the Starry Night
that was cool.
Inspired mm-hmm. level. And
not only that, like a lot of the next-gen games for the next Xbox and the PS4, it's all new technology, so they're not going to be graphically as full force as we want them to be. It always takes developers a while to get used to a console's capabilities, what it can do. Before the really good, you know, graphics and everything that catches everybody's eye, you know, pops up.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's going to be anything too impressive there.
I think it's one thing I love about Nintendo's art style is if, you know, like when you play like a Mario game, you know you're playing it just by, just not just by the music, but just by the way everything looks. It's just so, well, happy. Mm-hmm. You play a Zelda game and you do feel like you're on this adventure. You play, let's say, one of the Metroid Prime games, or even the Super Metroid or something like that. You feel like you're in that environment. It's like they really targeted it and really worked hard on terms of giving that presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like they consistently do that. They always either work on a unique aspect, or even in Zelda, they come up with a unique graphical style, mm-hmm. but it still seems like Zelda. You know, you play right. it and you're mm-hmm. like, I know this is Zelda.
Cell shade, and then realistic, and then I believe Skyward Sword was more impressionistic, but it was still Zelda.
What surprises do you think? Nintendo always has some surprise announcements at E3. Oh, yeah. You know, whether it's like Donkey Kong Country Returns that came out of left field at E3 one year. What do you think? Do you think it'll be Retro's game or
a new Metroid Prime game? That would be kind of cool. I knew Metro Bang. Show of hands, kids. Did you guys play Other M?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
What did you guys think of that?
I actually enjoyed it, I think, more than most.
I thought it was pretty cool. I liked it, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I had fun with it, too. I mean, like, of course, aside from the fact that you start with all your weapons and can't use them. But, I mean, that was Team Ninja that did that. If you were to, I guess in a way it seems unfair to compare the two, but you have to admit, for Metroid Prime, I still look at the first one for the GameCube. The graphics on the thing were quite impressive for something like the GameCube. So could you imagine if Retro could do that now, but with the Wii U's capabilities? I mean, I heard that just. I mean, just think about also what you could just do with the controller. I mean, that's something I always look at when it comes to a new game. Like, what could you do with the controller to incorporate that gameplay?
Yeah. Well, think about the scanning capabilities. If they keep that, that would just be mind blowing. Have all that information right there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just maneuver right there. Like, I'm looking forward to when the Wind Waker HD comes out. It's like, oh, menu. That's right there. Okay. Yeah. Just poke around. All right, got it. Good. Done.
Yeah, and I think it would be a good showcase. For something like realistic and gritty, and you know, they showed off that Zelda Wii U demo a couple years ago, which they're like may or may not end up looking like this. Looked incredible, but if they're not ready to show off actual gameplay for the new Zelda U and just focus on all the other games, you know, why not have like a Metroid game that really shows, you know, true like awesome detail, sci-fi level detail. I think Metroid's a perfect game to do that kind of that level of detail. I don't know. I think that could just be awesome.
But I think there will either be a Star Fox or Metroid game there. I think they need one of those.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Seems
I
like
would pick Star Fox over Metroid. That's just me. Just because. When was the last Star Fox game? It was Command, right, for the DS.
Yeah. And then the remake on the 3DS.
Right. There's the remake. Yeah. But I mean, I think he used a comeback.
Yeah, there wasn't a single one on the Wii. Star Fox on the Wii.
Imagine if like they could just pop up on the tablet screen and talk to you instead of just on the screen.
Yeah.
That would be so cool.
And a mute button for Slippy. Yes. Get this guy.
Sorry, Slippy.
Yep.
We got a comment from Twitter from Richard. He says, have there really been a really bad Mario Zelda games that are absolutely crap?
Zelda CDI. No. Moving on.
That's the only one I can think of.
Hotel Mario, moving on.
I actually own all those, and I have played them, and they are just as bad as everyone says.
You poor soul, man. Why would you do that to yourself?
I'm a Zelda file. I've got all the games complete.
Yeah. I noticed they didn't put that in the timeline. I got the Hyrule Historia recently. I was like, well, that's weird. Where's the Wand of Gamelon? I don't see it in here.
That's the unholy triforce of games, and they are not to be mentioned.
Yeah. I just wonder what Ganon's up to.
They shall never be uttered.
Worst Mario Zelda game. Oh, wow.
Isn't one.
Yeah, really.
Did you guys ever play that Mario typing game?
Yes, Mario teaches typing.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad. But
yeah, maybe it was Bacon trying to teach typing.
There was also the Mario is missing. I wasn't too thrilled with that.
Yeah.
But do those really Mario's count,
time
though?
Machine?
Because those were third-party
A totally
companies.
Different studio.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is a hard question. Oh, yes, I know one. If I were to say the worst Mario game I've ever played, but the thing is, when I say worst, I don't mean, oh, my God, it's unplayable, but it just wasn't the best, would be the U.S. release of Super Mario Bros. 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one was completely – because how many of you guys tried to jump on the first enemy to stomp it, and you're like, why am I riding? What's going on?
What's happening?
Yeah. This goes against everything they taught me.
Yeah. Right.
Why am I uprooting turnips and throwing onions at people?
Okay, I'm at the end, and you pulled an Inception. It was a dream.
Yes.
I think that was the director of Inception, like, loves Super Mario Brothers 2 and says, what if I could just turn that, but go deeper?
Yeah.
In terms of Zelda, I would say my least favorite was probably, but I'm actually kind of starting to enjoy it a little, is Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. Just because the complete formula change, but I don't know, I'm starting to play it again because it's one of those, I want to say I've played it and beaten it just so I can throw it off my list, but I do kind of catch myself enjoying that little RPG aspect, but at the same time, I'm playing Wind Waker again, I'm going, yeah, Zelda 2 just didn't have that exploration.
I think it was a good one, but I think the level of difficulty of Zelda 2 just went like way beyond, like, I don't know, especially because you've only got 3 lives, and as you start to like to level up your character, which you absolutely have to do to progress.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes, you have to get all these experience points. If you die 3 times while you're trying to grind, it's all your progress wiped over, you're back to 0 experience points.
And back at the palace.
All the way over. Yeah, and back at the palace.
Yeah.
That's brutal, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that both of those are the second games in each of those.
That's right.
Second games in each of the franchises.
Yeah. And I mean, I know it's NES hard, but I mean, I just finished Castlevania 1, you know. Yeah, I did my speed run of that, 35 minutes, but that was because I played it over and over again. That's at least beatable. Zelda 2 is just, that's just not fair.
It's just cruel.
It's not just a straight path to the last great palace. It's all right, you're on your way, and then boop, okay, now you got to do this little side-scrolling bit. Hope you don't get hit. Okay, you're almost there. Oh, you got to do another one. The only time, I think, is if you die in the great palace, though, you do start at the beginning of
that palace. That's not to mention the graveyard maze.
Oh, God, I'm having
graveyard maze.
PTSD, oh, God.
Before we lose Zelda
disorder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another question I guess we kind of somewhat already talked about is from Jonathan. He said, why didn't they release Mario Brothers 2 until the All-Star Pack?
Which it was difficulty, wasn't it? I thought it was it was just because the game was so hard.
Yeah, I think they didn't think the American audience would appreciate it, I guess, or something. That was the official excuse.
I think that's it, pretty much.
I
think it was like the Nintendo of America. They tried playing the game. And they just thought, this game's way too hard. This is going to make people not want to play Mario. Let's give them Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah. Reskinned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys actually beaten Lost Levels? Like, I'm just curious. You know,
I've gotten to World 5, and then I gave up.
I remember playing it a lot on the Virtual Console when it came out on the Wii Virtual Console. But yeah, I probably made it to World 4 or 5, but never finished it.
If you have All-Stars, I recommend doing it on that, because if you die and lose all your lives, you start at the beginning of the level, not the world.
Oh.
Yeah. And it goes all the way to World 1-1 to, I think, World 2-4. they decide to mess with you and think, oh, you're not done. There's still four more worlds to go through. And it don't make any sense.
Yeah. And we got two questions from Trevor. The first one's shorter, so I'll start with that one. He says, for those of us who are going to buy Animal Crossing for the 3DS, how many of you is going to buy it? I may buy it.
Pick me. Yeah,
I'll probably get it.
I've never actually played Animal Crossing.
Mm-hmm. What? This might be a good one.
Oh, no, God. I mean, it's the best game. KK Rider is my favorite character. Dog person.
Go play the GameCube one while you're waiting for the 3DS one. You will thank me later.
Yes, sir.
The question is, who's buying the physical copy or the digital download?
Oh,
I'll probably get physical copy. Yeah, I'm a sucker for physical copies. I don't know why.
This is when I was actually talking with Trevor about it on the website, and I was thinking that, you know, Animal Crossing is one of those games where I could play for maybe a couple hours or maybe even just 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And while it seems like convenient to have the digital copy, I'm not sure I want to commit and have, because that's, you know, $40, and if something happens to my 3DS and it can't be replaced,
mm-hmm.
that's all that money like wasted. And I think I'd rather just have like the physical copy. And yeah. I think I've been converted, because that's the only game where I've thought about like doing the digital over the physical copy.
Also, it's kind of nice to have that box on your shelf where you can just see it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the collector in me.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that.
Well, here's my issue I'm having is I reviewed Soul Hackers and Lego City for the 3DS recently.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go out and buy another 4-gig SD card. So I've got my 2-gig because Soul Hackers was pushing 2-gig itself.
Well,
plus with now I have like a gig left on 2 SD cards already. So that means I'm going to probably go and buy a third one if I get Animal Crossing.
Goodness.
And yeah. So I'm going to have 3 SD cards hanging around in my case.
Yeah.
You think they make a 3DS with like an internal memory drive, like even like a small one? Like, have you guys, you know, there's a terabit jump drive. I'm like, who says you can't take something, maybe not a terabit, but just put it in there?
Yeah. And it's getting cheaper and cheaper, flash memory, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the SD, like the 4GB I bought was like literally $5. It wasn't that much. I just don't want a whole bunch of SD cards hanging around.
Yeah. And then you're labeling them, and you're like, oh, this has this game and this game.
Perfect example is for my Wii U, I was a sucker and I bought the basic package because you know, Deluxe was all sold out. And I was using a 16-gig flash drive to save all my game save files.
Right.
And now I can't find said flash drive.
It jumped
out of my Wii U. And I don't know where it went. And
that's so like,
literally jumped out.
Yes. I'm booting up Mario U, and I'm like, all right, you know, I need to finish this up for, you know, the Luigi version. And I'm like, wait a minute. Where's my save file?
Yeah.
All those cards.
No.
Where is it?
No.
I almost got done with the Star World.
Exactly. It crushed me a little bit inside. So.
And that's a gamer's worst fear is losing a save. You know, like it's one thing to lose a, you know, the game or whatever, but to lose that save game.
That's why
hard work.
That's why at E3 Nintendo needs to announce cloud save files.
Yes.
Files are online. So we won't have that issue. If you lose your system, it's all there.
If they do that, I will start purchasing more digital content.
That's the only thing that holds me back from doing the digital. There is no way of backing up right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you move on to a new system or something happens to your current system, you're out.
Well, also, I don't like the licensing thing. Like, let's say I bought 50 Wii U or 3DS games, then the next system I somehow deleted them, I need to re-download, but they stopped that service. Mm-hmm. And so I bought them, but I can't re-download them. I don't have them for eternity because I can't go back like my 64 Super NES and pop those back in. It's just, that's it.
Right. Yeah, this is where they need that universal account system. They need, Club Nintendo merged into that because I've had Club Nintendo for, you know, 10, 11 years now, and it's been keeping track of all my games since then, so it's got a record that I own them, Nintendo, so, you know, I need to. If that worked,
think if you, let's say, you know, Club Nintendo did incorporate into the Wii U, and let's say I pick up the new, let's say when Pikmin 3 comes out, I pick it up, I put it in my system, and it says, you know, the game is currently installing. Wouldn't it be cool if it could go, while the game is installing, would you like to register this game in with your Club Nintendo and automatically go ahead and get those points? Just two birds, one stone.
Yeah. Yep. And that's why Club Nintendo needs to be with that account. Like right now, you can link your Club Nintendo account, can't you? Like, so if
you can link it to your system, yeah. But it's kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah,
keep track of your digital.
Yeah,
your eShop buys.
Yeah, just your digital stuff, not your physical stuff you put in there. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, so you get coins as you download stuff, but.
They're watching you through that webcam on the controller. You don't know it.
I mean, how cool would it be to, like, you have this, you know, Club Nintendo account or whatever, and then you had like a digital library or whatever that you could, like, show off or something, and then, like,
that'd be cool.
Like, hey, here's my gamer profile. You can go to, like, that's what the Nintendo Network ID is. You know, it's a universal login. So merge that Club Nintendo account. Have all the games.
All it has.
Yeah, exactly. It's like all these systems have had this for 6-7 years now. But then people could look at your profile, like games owned, you know, 400.
You compare it, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you know, okay, this person's a hardcore fan.
Or that you take it next step further, you have like Steam where you have like 400 games on, but player has only played 16% of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's the love gamer? Why won't you play the rest?
Yeah. Backlog.
And our last question, and Trevor's second question, and this is actually a good one. I'll send you the other one more good. I'm going to say this one will be
Trevor said the best
out a long conversation, but we're reaching our max of time.
Yeah.
But do you think Nintendo is relying too much on existing IPs like Mario, for example? What less unknown IPs do you wish they revived? I love a new Star Tropics myself.
Well,
Metal Gear was originally on the NES. Maybe they should just bring him back.
Yeah.
Call of Kojima. We're taking him.
Star Fox is a good one.
Yeah, Star Fox.
Want some River City Ransom. I think that'd be pretty fun.
We need Wave Race back.
Yes. Yeah.
Banjo-Kazooie. It would be phenomenal if for some reason Nintendo could get a deal back with Rare and go, let's get Banjo 3E, or bring back Jet Force Gemini.
Yes.
Yeah,
things like that. Gemini or make another Donkey Kong game with Kremlings.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, because we can't until Rare gets back. Oh, yeah, F-Zero. Yeah.
That'd be good.
Oh, actually, yeah, that's really good. But just look through the Super Smash Brothers roster. Just think. That's a good starting point. Exactly. They did Fire Emblem. I mean, that was a Japanese-only title, I believe, right?
Well, I would almost like another Excite Truck game. I like that on the Wii. And I think with, you know, the HD visuals and, you know, I love the terrain deformation, like how dynamic it was. You go through a little, you know, circle or something, it goes whoo. And then it would toss your opponents or something.
I love that sound effect.
Yeah.
Well, what was so great about that game, no race was the same. No lap was the same. It was always so chaotic.
Yeah. So, and ExciteBots was okay in its own right, but, you know, something more like ExciteTruck, a straight sequel to that would be cool. Yeah, Wave Race 1080, that's another one. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Star Fox.
Like in the same game? Like, you could have Wave Race and 1080 in the same game. You know, the guy's just on the back holding on with a snowboard.
Yeah.
Or they're on the snow. I mean, like, have you ever seen a jet ski on the snow? I haven't. I would like to.
Yep. Well, like, it's a triathlon where you snowboard, you jet ski, then
fly.
Mario Kart.
It's the new Wii U sports.
But I wonder if almost because, like the other part of his question, like, do they rely on their main IPs? Is it because they rely on them, or because fans love them so much that they always want another one, that they're always trying to pour so much effort into topping the last one and making it a whole new experience? If maybe that takes away from reviving some of these other ones that we may be missing, you know?
I want to use an example of sports games, for instance, like soccer and tennis, Mario Soccer, Mario Tennis. I'm a big soccer fan. I love soccer. Some of you, I'm going to throw Justin out there. Justin, I don't know, you're not a huge soccer fan.
Not the sport. I love Mario Strikers.
Exactly. See, you love Strikers, and I'm not a big fan of Strikers.
That game is amazing.
So, it's, I don't know, because I'm thinking, like, technically soccer terms, and then all of a sudden a shell flies at you and it pisses me off. I'm like, well, that's not real.
But on the flip side, you're big into tennis. I absolutely love Mario Tennis because I'm not that huge into tennis, so all the shows flying around is a plus for me. So it's kind of it helps people out. Like if you're not into sports, but you like Mario sports games, like Mario Golf, Mario Tennis, they need a Mario Football game. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah,
you know, I think we need a Mario Surgeon Simulator. like Dr. Mario is coming back, but he's not doing like the little puzzle thing. Like, could you imagine him like actually, you know, like doing a triple heart bypass? You see, like, you know, Peach dabbing his head, like while Luigi's working anesthetic,
like a trauma center. Mario,
we're losing him.
Yeah, Mario Trauma Center.
And then it turns into Mario Party when you have to do a heart press.
Nice. Mini games.
Mini games all over.
Flatline. I'm calling it. The time of death. 10:50.
Yeah, I think, I mean, sometimes it looks like they rely on their IPs, but I think it's because they just have such an abundance of IP. I mean, their intellectual property is, you know, out the wazoo. I mean, they've got, you know, how many characters? You know, Sony has a few characters, you know, to its roster. Mm-hmm. But, like, what does Microsoft have? They've got Master Chief.
Gears of War.
Gears of War, yeah.
And then so, that's it,
that's,
pretty much.
That's about it. So,
yeah.
You know, I think it looks like they rely on their IPs, but they do spread things out quite a bit. You know, they're like, oh, let's do the Mario and Luigi game here. Granted, that's still a Mario game, but...
But you kind of have to look at Nintendo almost like Disney a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's, they're not quite a video game company. They're so spread out, they can do a lot of different things, tackle a lot of genres. But like Master Chief, they did do Halo Wars or whatever that was, the RTS. But you have Mario that encompasses, you know, 12 different genres, and they can achieve that. I think what Nintendo needs to work on is trying these smaller experiments, maybe for the, you know, eShop or something, just trying these different things, or, you know, release that Pikmin or Endless Ocean every few years just to keep people interested in something brand new.
I think we need a brand new IP this year. It seems like Miyamoto, there was a rumor about that like 4 years ago. Miyamoto's got a new IP. But... we never even heard anything about it, so it'd be nice to hear something. Tingle, yeah.
Tingle, no.
Hey, there are a couple of Tingle games.
No, they're not. No, they're not. No, they're not.
I played them.
Why? The box art is so scary.
Oh, they're hilarious, though.
Yeah. Our Tingle eBooks friend on Twitter would not like us bashing them.
He wants to join us next episode. So.
Oh, yeah? Nice. Well, we'll get him on here.
He can defend.
He can do some Kulu Limpas and stuff.
Don't worry, what are you doing, man? You're stealing his words. Remember when he said, don't steal his words? I would be fearful that whatever he is.
I don't know. I find the character funny. I could see what they were going for when they created him. So. Yeah.
We'll do a deal with Ubisoft. Assassin's Tingle. He's airborne. Assassin's he can do airborne.
Tingle.
He'll be like, he can do airborne strikes.
Yes.
Wow. <Yeah. laughs>
So I guess, like, back to the IP, I don't know. I mean, I guess sometimes they rely on it, but with the 3DS, you look at when they came out with Mario Kart 7 and Mario 3D Land, that revived the system, and third parties are thriving now, and the system's thriving. So it's almost like with a Nintendo system, you need some good first-party games to sell the system in order to get third parties on board. Like, okay, there's a lot of systems out there. We can do well on it.
And do you blame them using them? Because if you, let's say, you go out to the Joe Smo at the street, you have a picture of Mario, picture of Master Chief, picture of someone else. Gears of War people, and was it Kratos? That's the guy I was looking for.
Yeah, that guy.
They're not going to know the other four people who they are. They'll be like, oh, those... They're in a game, I know that, but they're going to know who Mario is.
Oh, yeah, he's infamous. Mm-hmm. Well, in a good way.
Blame a company for writing that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it goes both ways. I mean, yes, they're going to, you know, have their system, but, I mean, we the gamers want them. Like, we want to have all the IPs. Like, we want the next one.
Yeah.
People and complain about it that they're not out yet.
Exactly. Like whether they rely on them or not, it's it's
what the gamer wants.
The fence here.
Yeah,
exactly. I need my Mario and Zelda fix, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just look at like Uncharted. You know, they have three games that came out over 5 years. Now, we haven't had a 3D Mario three games over 5 years, you know, on the same system. They're all spread out, but yet we have different genres. So people think, you know, Nintendo releases too many too often. But in reality, I mean, look at Zelda. Look at when Galaxy was released. Look at, you know, there's so much time that I don't think people quite understand. And most time, it's just they're just so angry and want to pick on Nintendo for being Nintendo. Right. I don't think they sit back and realize.
Yeah. Yeah, because they do space things out a lot. I mean, look at like Assassin's Creed. There's been an Assassin's Creed game for the last 7 years straight, maybe?
They did. I know they did two, Brotherhood, and then it's like right then it's like, all right, here's Revelations, and that one was okay, and then it's like right after that, here's three! I'd rather have more time thought into it rather than just, here, just go, take it.
Yep, so and I think that's a good point, you know, to let people know, like, hey, well, look at all these other franchises. I mean, there's a lot of them that are perennial, that are every year. Nintendo takes some time. They try and reevaluate what's fun, you know, explore a different genre with the Mario franchise. Mm. You know, at least they're trying to creatively, evolve it or revolutionize it. You know?
And like Jason or Kevin, one of you guys said that there's just different variations. Like you got the 2D Mario, you got the 3D Mario, you got the 2D Zelda, you got the 3D Zelda, you got Mario Kart, you got tennis. It's just, they're all different. You can have two different Mario games almost back to back, but yeah, they're different because you got a 2D and a 3D one.
Right.
Yeah. I think where Nintendo does a little disservice to themselves is when they release like the new Super Mario Brothers series, and then people immediately write off the Wii U version, even though it actually looked amazing. Like visually, it was too similar a little bit to the past, that people that didn't give it enough time and try to play it just scoffed off as, ah, it's just a remake or just too similar.
That's my fault. It's my fault.
But it actually is a really good looking game.
One of my favorite details. 2D Mario games.
Yeah, and part of that problem was you had New Super Mario Bros. 2 on the 3DS that released like, what, 2 months earlier?
Yeah.
3 months
earlier?
It released so soon. And then I think they're going to have a similar problem with the Yoshi Wii U game. You've got the Yoshi Yarn game that's coming out on the Wii U. And then they showed off Yoshi's Island 3DS a few weeks ago. So it's like, are you going to come out with those, you know, within a couple months? That's cool, but you know, it seems like they need to.
You don't want to get burned out on the same thing.
Yeah, and maybe those cannibalize each other. Like, oh, someone's like, oh, I love Yoshi's Island, you know, and Yoshi's Island 3DS looks more like Yoshi's Island than this Yoshi Yarn game. So I'm going to get Yoshi's Island 3DS.
I think one of Nintendo's strengths is that when they release these IPs, so much time and care has been put into them that you get like sucked into the world. You know, it's almost like coming back home playing another Mario or another Zelda.
Yeah, but what always worries me, every once in a while, it seems like we've been waiting for these games, let's say Brawl and Mario Kart. We've been waiting years. Then they release in a month and a half time. Yeah. And it's like, I don't even have enough time to play Brawl before I can play Mario Kart.
Right.
And it's like, what do I spend my time doing? And then I have this internal conflict of, I buy them both, but I only play one, and then I wait a year or two and then play the other for a year or two.
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of like a good meal. Like a good meal is cooked. Was it some meals are like, some really good meals are cooked? Was it a low flame for such a long time? I mean, like, would you rather want that or something you slap in the microwave?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Food.
That's true.
I think part of it too is we're just spoiled as gamers.
Yeah.
Shut up! No, we're not.
Yeah.
Those game companies owe us.
I demand everything for free, and they should pay me to do it.
Yeah,
exactly.
All I know is we're going to be playing the new 3D Mario soon, and we're going to see it, and that's
awesome.
And when they show the Zelda for the Wii U, it's just going to be, heavenly bliss.
Yeah.
I'm making the Pokemon game of my dreams. I'm happy.
Oh yeah, yes.
I need to check that out because the last Pokemon game I played, I told this to Justin when I met up with him. The last Pokemon game I played was Pokemon Blue for the Game Boy. I don't know why. I think it was just because it was like, what do you mean? There's more. I have to memorize more than 150. Done. But I think I should get back in it and try it again.
Yeah, I think X and Y will be pretty solid.
And the Pokemon Snap 2, they're announcing at E3.
they could easily do like an eShop of that. I mean,
be awesome.
You know,
there's no excuse not to.
Right.
That's a good fan service, you know.
Especially with the controller.
Yeah. I'm excited to see more DLC if there's going to be, like, Super Smash Brothers could easily take advantage of that. New characters, new stages, bam.
Yeah, Mario Kart, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that's not going on.
Think about Mario Kart if they release a new, like, a pack of new tracks every 3 months, you know, or even half a year, and then you just build up to, like, the 60, 80 tracks over the Wii U lifespan.
Season how huge pass. That game
would be. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That game would be gigantic.
It would be unstoppable. Everyone would be playing it.
Yeah.
Money making.
Well, I hope they're listening.
Yeah. Nintendo, you can tune in every 2 weeks. We have our KoopaCast here. So we'll have more brilliant ideas in 2 weeks.
We're worth it.
Cloud yes. saves, that's a freebie. We don't take royalties on that. But.
Yeah.
Which is we.
And I know we talked about this last time, but they really need to do this. When you buy, like, Mario, you get, you know, some money off or something for a VC Mario game. Or they release a Mario game right before the big 3D Mario game, like for VC. So it gets people excited. You know, give incentive to buy games
right.
or get something off.
Or you get a free download of a
Absolutely.
Mario game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like let's say next 3D Mario game for the Wii U, buy it and you get the original Super Mario Brothers mm-hmm. for free. Just download it. I think it'd be a great idea.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm still waiting for all those other Mario games to come on the Wii Virtual Console so I can play Super Mario 3 on my thing. My gamepad.
Jeez.
Anyway, I guess we'll wrap things up.
This guy's way too talkative. It's a good
Sorry,
thing. I actually have two more topics, but we are way over.
We can do speed round.
Speed round, go.
Lightning round.
Or not.
Now we'll leave it next week.
Yeah. Next week.
But the end, what games have you guys been playing recently? Let's start with Tristan.
I actually recently, after doing my Castlevania speedrun over and over again, I've recently gotten back into Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. I'm psyched for its HD release, and I was like, I gotta play it again, see if I can remember everything.
That's what I've been wanting to play. That's what I've been wanting to play, but I don't have time for it. I'm still mystery dungeoning it up in Luigi's Mansion. I've been so busy. Yeah. I need to finish Luigi's Mansion, man.
Things that we call busy.
Yeah.
I love it.
I finally finished. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Kevin.
I'm trying to finish Paper Mario.
Nice.
Which one?
The one for 3DS. The
Okay. Sticker Star. Star. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Kevin.
I just finished Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. And
lucky.
a lot of the side quests and replaying some of the levels to get 3 stars and.
Completionist.
So that's been pretty fun. What else? Oh, Need for Speed on the Wii U. That's always a fun game to play for a few minutes here and there. Mm-hmm. Played some Black Ops 2 on the Wii U, some Mario Brothers. Lego City Undercover is great. So played a little bit of that recently. But that's about it.
Nice.
I've been playing very ADD with my gaming. I go and do a Need for Speed race. Yes, race. Yeah. Oh, then I'll go and solve a few things on Super Scribblenauts.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then I'll go and play Zombie U and die quickly and be like, well, screw this.
And then you play Call of Duty Black Ops Zombie mode where you're like, I can kill these zombies way easier.
Why is it taking 10 hits with a cricket bat to get this thing down?
And now you just reminded me. I haven't even touched Professor Layton in the Miracle Mask.
Oh my!
And I got that for free because I bought Luigi's Mansion in the 3DS XL.
It's good.
Oh wow!
Thanks, James. I gotta play
that.
Ben, what are you playing?
I mean, like you guys, I've been really busy. Although the last game I was playing was, I'm still playing Sonic Racing.
Nice.
It's fun. Good.
Well,
it's
let's play online sometime.
Yeah.
We should. I don't know.
We need to all get online.
Fine. I guess I gotta go out to the store and get this Sonic game. Actually, I've been meaning to check that out.
It's actually awesome.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
I will buy it if we all do like some online multiplayer. We gotta get more guys.
It's sad to say, but Nintendo has to step up for Mario Kart.
They really do.
Because it's awesome level design.
Yeah.
They can take advantage. Yeah, the transformations and, you know, going with a cart in one, boat in the next lap, and then flying in the third lap is pretty cool.
They just don't, they don't have the weapons down like Mario Kart. Mario Kart's weapons are where it's at.
The weapons are pretty sketchy.
I've been hit by my own green shells way too many times.
Yeah. I'm feeling a Diddy Kong Racing vibe coming from it.
God, that game is so hard.
I love that game.
It's very, very
it's amazing.
If you guys get a chance, check out the completionist's video on Diddy Kong Racing. He 100%ed the whole thing, and it's just
that would stress me out.
Exactly. Like, I love watching his videos because it's like, hey, you're doing something I don't have to do, and God, I don't want to.
Yeah. Watch this guy's pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, but it's such great though.
Yeah.
Well. Thank everyone for joining us. Thank everyone who's going to watch this.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
See you in the future.
Yeah.